Welcome to Listening to Paint Try, a podcast about the art and hobby of miniature painting. I'm Mike.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Tev. Thank you for joining us on our continued quest to become better, braver, and happier painters.
Well, it's an auspicious day, gentlemen. January 28th, 2024 marks the fourth anniversary of the podcast. Holy crap, we made it 4 years.
You realize dating this, you now have to actually turn it around and put it out in a reasonable time frame, right?
I totally get it. And it will be.
I guess we can go to seasons now, too. So it'd be like seasons 4, episode 1, right?
Well, that's something I wanted to talk to you guys about, potentially going to a seasons format to make it a little bit easier on the editing process and give us
some
breaks.
You just have to go back and just rename everything. And you have to edit out. We can use one of those AI things and apps and change our voices, so when we say episode 5 and 6 and 10 we can
we should just like get ChatGPT to generate our entire script, then have an AI voiceover narrate the entire script and train up some AI models to upload it, and then we're done
before. We brought you on board, that's what we were going to do, but you kind of threw that up for us. So remember, we have those. Remember, I have that that BattleTech thing I made,
right,
the story,
and then the
background for my mech that was the dancer. The AI made it. Yeah.
Well, we also have the Patreon only episode where we did Raggedy Pants listens to an.
Oh my god! I still have that. Yeah,
listening to Paint Dry. Yeah. That was pretty funny. So yeah, 4 years, congratulations. And we start off the fourth year right with Dev now on the show. And so it's I'm looking forward to this year. A lot of stuff. The last kind of 5 to 6 months have been cray cray in many different ways. So it's nice. I'm also announcing that I am commission free at this point. And so
do we want to go ahead and start talking about like what we're doing and all that stuff, or what we've been going on since the holidays?
Sure. If you just want to step on me while I'm talking.
I mean, we could talk about where the podcast is going this year. I feel like that's a good way to go. It's January, right? New Year's resolutions. We can get ready to make promises we're not going to live up to. That's what
already,
we do on
already,
this, right?
Yeah. I messed that up on my second day, so I'm good to go.
I thought about some resolutions and then I thought about not doing them and didn't do them. I'm excited this year because I'm entering the new year without commissions and I'm not taking any. I really can focus on the show and painting and gearing up. I want to gear up for a big push at Adepticon. So get a bunch of ducks in a row. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to do in the coming year with the podcast.
Awesome.
Yep. I even think, one of the resolutions that I want to keep is definitely, I want to get into video and start beefing up the YouTube channel with actual videos. I don't necessarily want to go the direction of having tutorials or anything, but, some video versions of the podcast and special episodes will be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, there's that can be managed and done fairly easy. There seems to be quite a few that do that.
Yep.
I certainly wouldn't do any tutorials at all. But mostly because I don't paint, but I wouldn't do any tutorials anyway. They probably wouldn't come out. They'd be all blurry and
Yeah, I still have to figure out this DSLR camera that I have. I need to get a... we have a lens for it and my photographer son keeps taking it for his camera and we're like, didn't we buy all these things for you? And he's like, yes, but I want to use this one. And we're like, aren't you bilking us for all we're worth in college right now? Come on. Could you just leave us the lens, please? And a little bit of dignity. And that's probably too much to ask. But all right, guys. So, is there anything you guys want to see Oh, I got a frog in my throat. I can't do it. I'm talking about Kermit the Frog during it. Is there anything you guys want to see with the podcast in the coming year besides more episodes being put out in a timely manner? I got that. I feel your pain. And acknowledge.
I feel like we are starting to get to the point on this show where we may want to start revisiting artists. I feel like we've managed to interview so many phenomenal artists, and there are still a few that I know we'd love to get on the show, or, you know, maybe redo the recordings because for whatever reason, you know, things went sideways and we weren't able to put those episodes out. But I think, you know, 4 years down the line, it's a good time to, you know, go back, revisit some of the folks that we've interviewed in the past and see how they're doing, get a new take on things. That's something I quite like to see.
Yeah, and we can even do those as shorter episodes too.
Yeah, not necessarily opposed to that. I mean, we had some fun times with, you know, most of these folks that we had on this show for interviews. We also see them at cons all the time, and that's quite a bit over the last couple of years for some folks that we see all the time. And it'd be cool to have them back on because you know, we see them all the time.
Yeah, and I haven't like touched. There's some people that I've kind of fallen out of touch with. I'm not good at. It hasn't been good as far as social media and stuff and keeping in touch with people. So that's a part of this year too, is making sure getting back in touch. Yeah, I could definitely see some artists, and I know that I already have two new artists lined up for, we'll say one is lined up, one is pending for Adepticon, both of which are artists that we had in the same room at one point at last year's Adepticon. So I'm hoping that those come to fruition. So, and if Dan thinks about it, he'll know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think, but I can figure that out.
Yeah, definitely. All right then. Well, since we've last been on, Dev went and did some gambling in the desert recently.
I definitely did that. I was recently at the Las Vegas Open. It was my first time going. I dropped an awful lot of money to go and have what I thought was going to be a 3-day class with one of my favorite miniature painters of all time, Kaha, aka Katerina Gorska. And it turns out that it was actually a 4-day class with a day zero being included, which I found out the Friday before the show. So hastily rebooked flights and additional car rental to get me there and a load of other shenanigans. But I did get there. I got 4 days of tuition from Kaha, class of 5 students. It was incredible. I had such a good time. I learned so much. I think I've forgotten most of it already. I'm trying to be good. But yeah, it was a fantastic experience. I'll be honest, I didn't get to see a lot of the rest of the show. I was painting. The classes actually started about 10 a.m., but I would get in first thing in the morning. I'd start painting at about 7 a.m. because when you've got classes this long, for those of you that haven't taken them before, the difference between like a 2 or 4 hour convention class and a longer 2-day, 3-day, in this case, 4-day class, the difference really is getting the instructor's feedback at later points, right? Sometimes there's a more ambitious program of what's being taught. Often there is. But to get to those points, obviously, you need to get paint onto the model. You need to get that model further down the road to be able to, you know, get meaningful feedback from the instructor. And so for me, a lot of that was getting in early, painting as much as I can, trying to get the model further along so that I could then get more meaningful feedback from Kaha. So a lot of painting. I was painting basically 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. most every day, missing the whole of the rest of the convention. but I had a fantastic time. I absolutely loved it.
And I saw, and you guys are, the other side of it is you're painting a huge model for
it was a big model. For those of you that have seen Kaha's work, you'll know that she really does love doing kind of monstrous figures and larger scale stuff. And the model she'd chosen for this class was a Age of Sigmar Stormdrake Guard, which is a they're not called Sigmarines. What are they actually called? It's not Sigmarines.
Stormcast Eternals.
Stormcast Eternal. It's a Stormcast Eternal riding a big ass dragon. And the focus of the class was painting the big ass dragon. And so, of course, I spent a good chunk of my time painting the small ass little rider. But it was a big model. It was very challenging for me. It's really the complete opposite of what subject wise what I usually paint, technique wise how I usually paint. Really pushing myself, really stretching, and it was phenomenal. Kaha was there in part because of Verko's Vault, which is something I think we should probably dive into in a little bit, but that was also an incredible experience because they had presence at the show and were able to show off some of the models that they have. It was just absolutely fantastic. There were a few, you know, hiccups and bumps along the way, right? Getting less than a week's notice of an extra day of tuition that I didn't want to miss and having to reschedule everything to make it and things like that were not ideal. Some of the facilities at the Rio are maybe not in the best of shape, broken elevators, lights missing in the classrooms, things like that. But Kaha is an incredible instructor. I have learned a huge amount, and now I'm just trying to practice the hell out of what I've learned so that I don't forget it.
Yeah, that's the key, right? You got to take what they teach you and do it, and not just walk out and be like, oh, I took a class, you know.
It's so true. Yeah. It's actually one of the takeaways that I got from this class was the value of doing a prime in a kind of satin or gloss black and using real world lighting to replicate the lighting effect that you want on the model to get you reference images to paint to. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that before. I had taken a weekend class with Nicholas Mortensen at Herrick's Games and Hobbies down in Boulder Creek, which was a phenomenal class, and I learned a lot, and I had a great time doing his kind of signature stippling techniques. And I tried using that method and found it very frustrating in that class to paint with reference images like that up and paint to the reference image and get the angles right and match what I'm seeing on the image. And for some reason, learning that same thing again in this class, it just clicked so much better. And I was able to sit there and just paint with that reference for where my light and shadow should be, making my life an awful lot easier, for sure.
It could be just where you are in your hobby journey.
Yeah, I think it can. And I think sometimes there's something to be said for like how receptive you are to certain ideas at any given moment. Are you ready to really try and experiment with that, right? The mindset mm-hmm. of going in with the desire to learn everything and anything, whereas, you know, you can kind of be a little bit more closed off and just only wanting to learn what you're expecting to learn. So I think that also was a factor.
Indeed.
So yeah, that was most of my last weekend. There was no gambling. There was some drinking. There was an awful lot of food. I had 3 separate dinners on one particular night, which was excessive, especially for someone who's been trying to lose weight for a while. California is a pretty diverse place, but I'm in a fairly rural area, so going to Vegas and spending a few days there was a huge variety of really, really good food to enjoy, and I had a great time with that.
So what happened? Like, did you just wind up being with different sets of people at the time and three different dinners? Is that what happened? Or is this the same three people that are pulling a Hobbit? Dinner one, dinner two, dinner three?
Oh, no, it was full on Hobbit. It was. So what happened was, so my wife came along with me. She did not get the earlier flight that I did, but she came the evening after day zero. I'd gotten there in the morning. And we had a fairly chill night the first night, but the second night we went out after class to kind of the Chinatown / Koreatown area of Vegas. And I actually wanted to stop by a hobby store on the way there called Downtown Hobbies, I think. I'm going to look that up so I can do them credit, because that was kind of a cool little store. It had some kind of sort of slot car racing thing going on. So we took the Uber there. And then from there, we're like, oh, okay, it's only a half hour walk to get to the restaurant that we'd picked out that we wanted to go to, that I wanted to go to, because it was Korean style hot dogs, which is something I've seen for forever and not actually had a chance to try yet.
Hot dogs?
Yeah, Korean style. Sorry, not hot dogs. Korean style corn dogs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, but I watch, I'm addicted to the street food videos. I can't lie, you know, watching those shorts and stuff. So I was like, I hadn't seen hot dogs yet.
No, Korean style corn dogs. They're not particularly new, but again, like where I live, you get phenomenal Mexican food. You get pretty good Americana food, quite a lot of incredibly expensive restaurants, like a la French Laundrette, because that's not far from me. You don't get a lot of like really top end Asian cuisine or, you know, world cuisine. So it was exciting for me to be able to try these. So that was the plan. So we walked from this store. It was called Downtown Hobby 9. For those who haven't been, rewind slightly. Let's talk about Downtown Hobby 9. Fun little place. It seemed to have a great community. They were doing like some kind of slot car racing or some kind of little racing thing using these kind of Tamiya miniaturized race cars in like fixed tracks that looked like a ton of fun. Huge selection of Bandai like Gunpla and things like that. Quite a few Tamiya kits as well. Nothing much beyond that, but if you're in Vegas, worth checking out. I think it felt like a lively place. It was kind of fun. So we walked from there and we were walking to this Korean corn dog place, and I'm looking at the photos online and I'm like, I'm not entirely sure this is like a sit down kind of restaurant. How about like, if we go there and there's no sit down, we'll just get like a couple corn dogs and we'll find somewhere else to eat. And so Christine and I are chatting away and like trying to figure out what else we'll have. And Christine's in the mood for ramen, because my wife is always in the mood for ramen or pasta, because that is definitely her go-to. And I was like, well, we'll find a ramen place, sure. So we go to the corn dog place, and of course it's just a to-go place. It really doesn't have any indoor seating. So get a couple of corn dogs, which I wolf down, and then we find a nearby ramen place. Takes all of my restraint not to drag us back to the izakaya place that I found that does okonomiyaki, which is one of my favorite dishes. Although if I'm back in Vegas, I'm definitely going there. So we have the corn dogs and we walk to the ramen place and then we sit down, and I was like, I'm just going to have an appetizer. I don't need like a bowl of ramen after having two corn dogs. So I have a bowl of ramen with black garlic oil and an appetizer, just to make doubly sure. And then on my way into the ramen restaurant, I saw across the street a mochi nut, and I've also not tried mochi nut donut, like the mochi donut hybrid things. So I was like, okay, well, we have to get some of those afterwards. So after we've eaten ramen and I'm already very, very full, I drag my wife across the street to go get mochi nut donuts. And like, you know, it's a donut place, right? So you could buy one, but like, you're basically paying the same price as buying three. So I might as well buy three, and it's fine, right? Like, they'll keep overnight. I don't need to eat them right now. I ate them all as soon as we got back to the hotel room.
And then Dev rolled into class next morning.
I was still up bright and early in that classroom at 7 a.m., I'll have you know.
Oh, no, I just meant you were probably like, okay, I might not eat for the rest of the time we're here.
I mean, there may have been small objects orbiting my gravitational field at that point. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, when you go to Louisiana, you're like, I'll just try this. I need a po' boy. Oh, and I need a order of beignets. Oh, I need some gumbo. How about, can I top that off with some beignets, please? You know, got to wash that down with a cup of beignets. Well, it sounds like a good time, man.
It was a great time. It was a great time. There were so many good people there. I finally got to meet Sergio Calvo in person. African Mir is lovely. She is
amazing.
Such a nice person. One of the students in our class, I'm going to give his Instagram a shout out because he was a great guy. He did great work because he doesn't consider himself a painter. He thinks of himself as a sculptor. And he was so excited. His Instagram handle is Lord of Skulls. But he was so excited to meet Africa, and she was like just chatting away with him about, like, he was showing her the work he'd been doing, and she was giving him input and stuff. So that was really cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing her again at Adepticon, and I'm actually taking one of her classes at Adepticon. So
I was looking. I really want to take that ZBrush class so badly because I've been messing around with Blender, and it just doesn't click for me. And I think Blender would be fine if I was in it like 8 hours a day every day and like doing it as a full-time job. And I was trying to do that over the Christmas holidays a couple years ago. And then I left it for a week and everything just goes out of your head. And you're just like, I don't remember any of the shortcuts. I don't remember how to do this particular thing. And you're just like, okay, I'm back at square one now. Like I can't make this thing as it is.
Yeah. One of the things I heard about Blender is it's not as intuitive.
So I said that to Africa, and she's like, yeah, ZBrush isn't intuitive either. I was like, oh
it's not? Okay.
Great. Okay. Well, there's a sales pitch I can't deny. All right. I'm not sure what I'm going to do there. So we'll see. We'll see. I've got to try something.
But, you know, like you said, that's good to meet the context. When you met her, did you know she had been on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I kind of said, you know, I'm part of Listening to Paint Dry, and you chatted with Mike in the past, so it was a cool experience. Of course, I was in the middle of class, right? So I was also trying to actually like get on with my model, I was maybe not as like personable with a bunch of the folks that kind of dropped into Kaha's class, because I was like, I really wanted to get as much out of the class itself as possible.
Of course.
So, yeah,
you dropped a pretty dime on it, you know.
You're not wrong. It was expensive, and it was totally worth it. It was absolutely worth it. But it's not something I'm going to be doing every year for sure.
Right. Oh yeah. Man, Dan is all like stealthy quiet.
Hey, y'all are just talking away. I'm just sitting here watching.
You're not even painting miniatures, right, man? I mean, we gotta get that hobby mojo going for you again, man.
Sure.
he's just looking at BattleTech porn.
Yeah.
No, we'll have a side conversation about that whole universe.
Yep. I didn't even know there was that whole universe. I was just talking about BattleTech in general, making a joke like food porn, but apparently I've opened a can of worms.
I know. Let's hear more.
I was going to say, let's fuck the side conversation.
No, maybe that's something we'll talk about at Adepticon or something like that.
Well, we're going to have, 12 hours in a car. So the more...
I'm not going to be there, guys.
Well, we'll have Zach there.
I can put you on speakerphone, and y'all two can talk to each other and keep me awake while I'm trying to drive.
We'll have Zach too, so
I'll just have to like conference call in, put me on speakerphone.
Yeah, you can. I mean, we're gonna
Might as well.
I mean, that'd be probably like by the time we leave in the morning, it'd probably be like midnight your time. So you'd probably be either just getting ready to shut down, but we'll Yeah, I guess we have to make those arrangements too and figure out exactly what time we're going to be leaving and everything.
I need to scare myself now with my painting progress. I got to figure out how many weeks until Adepticon.
No, don't do it.
It's like
I got to do it. But...
50 something days, I think. No, it's got to be more than that.
It's just less than 7 weeks.
Yep.
All right, I'm freaking out now. Cool. All right, good job, Dev.
We'll see if I can get it done.
My fear is that I'm now like, because I've done so much work on this Stormdrake piece from Kaha that I'm thinking I might as well throw it into Golden Demon. So my fear is that I'm now working on that and the unit for Resin Beast and I end up finishing neither.
Yes, I get it.
You must prioritize.
Yeah, I'm really not very good at that. I want all the things.
I know that feeling. Yep.
Is that do one thing great or do everything average?
I aspire to be a jack of all trades, master of none, because I don't have the patience to focus on one thing.
Yeah, that has got me a zero in life. And now I'm too old to master anything, so I just go back to being just average at everything. Or below.
Jack of no trades. There we go.
I try everything. It just, yeah.
And now for your motivational minute from Dan.
Which is kind of funny since I'm a freaking coach.
Right. I'm sitting here thinking like, do we want to hire this guy? What?
Well, that's why I don't have any clients. Dan, the depressed life coach or some shit. Well, you really think you're having that bad of a time, but let me tell you about me and how shitty it really can be. Maybe I shouldn't spread that because this will be online when I'm trying to like get more clients.
our 11 listeners won't hire you.
Yeah, I know. That's all right. I don't want to scare them away permanently. But hey, I am a decent coach and I pick out some really, really cool things to help people improve upon. It's just that, I can't spend 24 hours trying to promote that along doing my job and painting and, you know, everything else that in life. Maybe if there was someone I could talk to about that.
Dan,
look at myself. What is that? Yourself. Who is that guy? Who is that guy in Saturday Night Live?
Chris Farley is the motivational speaker.
No.
Matt.
He was. He would look in the mirror and he would always like.
Oh, say, Al Franken. Oh, it was Al Franken.
Yes, Al Franken. Yeah. That's it. I'm good enough. And stuff. Yeah, he would say that to himself in the mirror. I just need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't see the camera, but I have some interesting coaching books right here on my desk that I just got. So they're just going to sit there. I usually learn all that through osmosis. So
is there a better way?
There isn't really. I just stare at it, and hopefully the information transports itself into my brain, and I can pass that wonderful information into my clients.
Dude, you gotta start putting that book under your pillow, man. Increased contact time definitely helps in those situations.
No, you just sit on it.
That's where his brain is, anyways.
See, and that's one of the unfortunate things. You know, we pick up these little cues throughout our life, and it kind of sticks with us. So one of them was one of my math teachers. I want to say it was in seventh grade. He was kind of weird, but he was a really fun guy to – he would have probably been a blast as a teacher with him. So when we would have a math class, he would have us sit on our books. And he's like, that's the best way for you to do it because, you know, you're going to learn through osmosis. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, right? Nope. So we sat on in all of our tests.
Nice.
I don't know if it helped or not. Probably not. So now that's stuck in my brain. So no,
I feel like this was just a cunning ploy to stop kids from cheating by looking at the textbooks.
You know, when you're like 13 or 14 year old, you don't know that. You're not thinking that far. Like, whoa, we learned this really cool thing in science.
We learned through our butts. All right. So where were we? What were we talking about?
I don't know. We started to edge a little bit into Adepticon a little bit, which I guess would be the next big thing that would be happening in all of our lives, I guess.
And it does feel like the next big thing on the horizon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Let's see. So, it's in March.
7 weeks out at the point of recording, we have the big event of Schaumburg, Illinois, Adepticon. And also the big event where the three of us finally attend a convention together for the first time. Yeah, I know. Like
all the stars all aligned and...
Yeah, really. I didn't think about it. Again, I still laugh about the fact that because when I went to ReaperCon, Dan, the first time, Dan said, "Hey, you got to meet Dev," thinking that you guys had met and, you know, maybe at Anova or something along those lines. And then fast forward 2 years later.
Yeah, I love this story because Dan and I didn't know each other and I was slightly confused why somebody would be bothering to interview me for a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, little did you know, right?
I know, and now I'm just a regular feature here that is, you know, you guys are stuck with.
Mm-hmm. But then, so yeah, when you said it's nice to finally meet you in person, when you met Dan, I was like, wait a minute, I thought he was your friend. who's on first? Like, wait, that's my friend. Damn it. Yep. Nope. You were one of the people that helped get me through that first ReaperCon. You know what I mean? Like, because I didn't really know. Only people I knew was Eric and Proctor. And so.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I love ReaperCon, right? Like, that was my first ReaperCon as well. And I went and I was an instructor and I hadn't been before and I hadn't really taught classes in a convention before. I'd done private classes and I'd done like game store classes, but teaching at a convention for the first time. And it's such a cool vibe there. Like, I do love that. I do love that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really wish they would have moved away from Labor Day weekend.
Has it been finalized that it's going to be Labor Day?
Yeah, they haven't made the official announcement, but...
Are we now going to have to fuck up the timing of everything else we've said and hold off on launching this fucking episode?
No, I don't have any inside information. I'm just telling you what was on their Discord. That they're in the process of sign, sealing, and delivering, and then there are things on the Discord about it not changing date. It's still going to be the same weekend. So... That's not, I don't have any inside information. This is just what's on publicly available.
So back to Adepticon, what kind of stuff are you guys doing? What kind of, I know we're going to be hanging out and talking most of the time over in Camp Wapple, but I think we have some classes and stuff going on too. We might even have a couple classes that are the same.
Yeah, yeah. I'm only taking two classes, so.
You're going to be bored. Never mind. You're not going to be bored. I'm taking a lot.
I'm doing one thing a day is what I decided on. I think, Dan, you and I are taking Farabi's class together.
Yeah. Is that Friday night? Yeah, we're taking his Become a Better Painter.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's the 101
for me.
And you're getting a shorter version of it. That's the one I took last year for 7 hours. But it's only four hours.
This is 4 hours. Yeah, Mike, but man, you remember last year, those long classes, man, those were soul suckers, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I had two of them last year, and they were rough to get through. I can't remember.
Oh, I agree. I think it's better that it's 4 hours instead of seven. I think that is an upgrade. Mm-hmm. Good decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have a couple other, say, Thursday, which class is that? You got the light class, right, Dev? The crap. I can't remember the name of it. I didn't get it. I was trying to get it, but I couldn't get into it.
I gotta pull up what I've got actually. I'm not sure I'm doing something.
Well, what classes are you taking then, Mike?
I am taking Africa's sculpting class on how to fix STLs.
Okay.
And such. And then I am taking Ben Cantor's Bangin' Reflections class. Oh, I am okay. Signed up for two of the weird miniature paint alongs. But that's all I'm signed up for right now.
Okay. You didn't sign up for any of the BattleTech ones?
I just felt wrong doing that. Like, I felt like I would be violating your space. You know what I mean?
Oh, why would I think that? Shoot, just go and have fun and paint.
But I can't tell. I can't tell after hanging out with you. I can't tell if BattleTech's fun or not.
It is fun if you're playing with the right people. You have to play with the right people.
And I'm just
it's like 40K or any other game out there. If you have the right crew and you find your tribe or your clan, it's a blast. If you go into an unknown place and you don't have those folks that you can relate with, even though you're playing the same game, it's kind of uncomfortable unless you're a super extrovert that just goes out and is able to make those connections. And I don't think this year I have many of my BattleTech buds going because we're all saving up for Southern Assault 4 this year. That will be in November. Maybe we'll drag you down this year. Like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk to you.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like it might be fun, but you know,
it's 3 or 4. It's a 4 day thing. I usually drive down Friday and then I drive back home on Monday. It's only a 4.5 hour drive. So it's not too bad. But it's usually like light sleep on two of those days because we're all hanging out. If we get like a house or something like that. I'm pretty sure Greensboro is probably a lot cheaper than Chicago when it comes to Airbnbs.
Is it Greensboro? Or I thought it was in Winston-Salem.
No, I think it's Greensboro, Winston-Salem. They're all the same. It's all the same place.
It's all North Carolina.
It's all Charlotte.
Is North Carolina ever going to be as expensive as the suburbs of Chicago? Probably not.
Well, some of the areas in the tri-state might push it, but probably not that close.
I know. I'm in California. Anytime I go out of state, everything seems dirt cheap to me. So.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Although in DC, you must feel a little more at home with the prices of shit.
It's still kind of cheap. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, I was very surprised. The prices weren't as crazy as I thought they were going to be in DC last year. I think they were normal for us because we're Northern Virginia. So they were normal prices for me. So, you know, for regular meals and stuff, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't trying to eat in the hotel. That place, it wasn't as bad as 2 years ago, but it was still kind of expensive for what you got.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely wanted to leave that hotel. But the other nice thing about the new location is you can leave the hotel and there's some great stuff, like pretty damn close.
Oh, there, everywhere we went, there is fantastic food. Yeah. It was just like, it was just wall-to-wall restaurants and all of them were fairly busy. And when they when it was those dinner times and lunches and stuff like that, but everything was really, really good.
I still think about Henry's Soul Food that I went to whilst I was there. It was so
I know good. I gotta do that one next year. I missed that one.
So good. So for Adepticon, I've got 4 things on, one for each day. I'm taking the Become a Better Painter Through Colors, Composition, and Storytelling with you. That's the Farabi class. I've then got Learn the Loaded Brush with Ben Komets. Because I've never actually taken a Ben Komets Loaded Brush class, which I think makes me unique in the world of people that like seriously try and take miniature painting classes.
Yes.
Because it feels like everybody has taken that class. And I finally actually got to chat with Ben a bit at LVO, and he's a great guy, and I can totally see how he is going to be a phenomenal instructor. And I am pretty psyched for that class. I think I'd actually also, so I was going to be at Adepticon in 2020 when the pandemic happened, and obviously the the pandemic happened, and I was going to be taking this class. So it's kind of nice that I'm actually now taking it at Adepticon at last. And then I'm doing the Relic Blade speed painting challenge. I love Relic Blade. I love speed painting. This is a win-win for me. I kind of wish that like all three of us had been able to jump in on a speed painting challenge together. I think that would have made for a great video. We could have just had the camera rolling, watched as everybody swears up a storm, laughed as Mike or Dan thought about having to edit this and bleep everything, and generally just had a great time. But maybe we should just, you know what? We should just do that at Fort Walpole, right? Like one evening, the three of us, maybe some Patreons, if any of you guys want to join us, we'll all get together. We'll just get the camera rolling. We'll sit, we'll drink, and we'll like speed paint a miniature in 45 minutes and put it up on YouTube. And then the last thing that I've got is Renaissance underpainting techniques and advanced contrast paints with Marco Frassoni. Everybody's favorite Italian living in Dublin, Marco Frassoni, who I met very briefly at LVO and is a lovely, lovely guy. And I am so looking forward to taking that class because it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be fun. It is like a 4-hour class. It's going to be a good time.
I thought about that class for a moment and I was like, well, you know, that's a little bit out of what I'm looking at right now. So I decided that I was like, yeah, I'll pass on that one. So this year, even though this is my 38th year of painting, I'm finally going to take an OSL class. I'm doing two. Well, I couldn't get Eric's this year because his sold out like immediately. And then I couldn't make it to his OSL class at Nova last year because I got stuck working. So this will be the year of OSL. I did drop a third OSL class just to get a little flavor from another instructor. But I'm doing a better painter with, I think we're in the same class. I'm doing a brush skills class, which is really short. It's only 2 hours.
Who's that by?
LSK.
Okay. I was hoping that the one I really wanted and I talked to him about last year was Wardle usually does like a 4-hour brush control class, and I was like, oh, I got it. I want that. And I talked to him, he was going to try to do it this year, but I don't know.
I figured I'll just take one of those classes another day or another time or another con. Let's see, I have a non-metallic metal class, how to paint capes, and I'm doing a splash of color on Sunday.
Is that the weird thing?
I think that's the weird one. Yeah. There were some other ones I thought about because they were open, and I thought about them and I was like, nah, I don't want to fill up too much. I still have a lot of room, but I am taking a lot of classes. And then I dropped the BattleTech, BTCC, I think it's what it was. The Alpha Strike tournament. I decided I wasn't going to do that one. I wanted to just hang out. Because that takes up a whole entire day. And then if you layer another class on top of that, that ends up being like way too long. And I did that last year and I didn't want to do that anymore. So it gives me the first day of the con is pretty much open until after dinner. So that gives us time to go like to vendors, to just hang out. We're going to run into so many people that we want to talk to that I would rather spend my time doing that. And then I can pepper BattleTech stuff throughout the rest of the con if I need to and go see those guys.
Are you doing any grinders?
No, I'm not doing grinders this year. I think their grinders are a little different. They're more, they're not like free gaming. It's more of scenario based, I believe, and campaign based. I believe that's how it's going this year. I didn't look into it too much. It's not too bad hours wise, but I don't want to get here too early in the morning and then wake you guys up. And then spend throughout the whole night. But the way that my classes are all spread out, it gives me a couple hours in between each one. I can get a meal if I need to, hang out with people for a little bit, and then, you know, palate cleanse before I go into my next class. So, and then maybe the following year, if we go in 25, you know, then maybe spread out some of those a little bit more. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. maybe we're going somewhere else. I don't know, like that. I don't know, that place out where you live, KublaCon or something. Who knows?
You guys should definitely come to KublaCon. It is kind of like the best of both worlds, with like a wargaming convention, but with a ReaperCon vibe. It is. It's just so much fun. I'm so glad that that's like my local convention that I can just, you know, rock
that's
up to.
That's in May, right?
KublaCon is the name.
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yep. I can take away all my weekends when we go to all these conventions. Come on, conventions.
Hey, if you're in this hobby and you're serious, you don't have holiday weekends anymore. You just have convention weekends.
Every weekend is a holiday from painting.
So, interestingly enough, it doesn't look like Andy Wardle's actually teaching this year. I don't think he's going to be at Adepticon.
No, I didn't see his name. Yeah. It's a bummer. He's one of the artists I wanted to really take classes from.
Oh dang.
And the one or two that he taught last year sold out well before I had a chance to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. A bunch of us are going to hop in a car and drive on through a whole bunch of states that we don't like, or I don't like. And and then, hang out. Came up for a bunch of days. It's going to be, I don't know. I think I'm looking forward to it. You get away from work and just sit in a car and listen to some crappy music and then go paint for a week. Should be fun.
And we get to torture Zach for 12 hours.
That's just one way. So.
Right. Right. 12 hours one way.
And I'll have to do the.
I think Zach is just going to say, screw you guys and fly back. Well, I figured I would be in the back seat.
Okay. That's fine. I thought you sit in the front because there's a lot more leg room up there.
Well, it depends on what car you're taking.
Oh, no, I'm not taking the car. We're taking the truck because we're going to have all of our shit with us. And this is
some riveting listening for our guests.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry there, listeners out there in listening world. I hope you're enjoying our conversation with driving with Dan and Mike to Chicago, the long way.
I'm really reconsidering dialing in on speakerphone to this. Listen to this.
You can't just, if you're really bored, or you're just going to hear it.
I don't know. I've been scrolling through Facebook for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, damn. We sat through his whole rambling of his, gorging night, and he couldn't just do us the favor of just being a part of engaging.
That's all right.
All right, so guys, table, what you working on? Dan, nothing, we know. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know who it is, but I think he's a pretty annoying guy, but he gave me a whole bunch of old fucking Terminators and stuff, so I stripped all of them. And I'm going to just spray paint them black at some point.
The dude who gave those to you is the worst.
I don't know why I keep hanging out with him, but it's fine. So, I stripped all those and I'm going to repaint those someday. I do have one that I am working on, and that's why I asked you guys for what chapter I should do. Cause I think I want to use that one for GW. I'm probably just going to do, I don't know what you guys recommend.
You got to try and game out which chapter is going to get the next Codex release. Deathwing's already out.
I was thinking about that, but if it's Deathwing, it's going to be black because it's old. It's pre 40K lore.
Pre Heresy.
So it would be
yes,
black.
I know, yeah. But every time you open up GW's thing, there's something about the Deathwing. So they're at least hot.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Now.
I don't know if I want to do them as tan. I don't know how many tan turtle dudes we
I think,
have.
I mean, this is pure speculation from somebody who doesn't give a flying monkeys about 40K, but I think it's more likely to be Blood Angels by the time we get to Adepticon.
Maybe Blood Angels. I may do that. I can have some fun with red. I've done some red stuff. So, yeah, I can just spray paint it white, put the red contrast on it. That should be pretty good. That should get me through. Let's see that. I have the secret project. And then What was the other thing? There's one other thing that I was going to paint. That might be for Nova, though. I can't remember. Yeah. So that's pretty much all that. And I organized my desk. I bought a whole bunch of empty squeeze bottles so I can transfer all of my new Citadel paints into dropper bottles. And then I'll leave the other thing for when we talk about like what to be learned. So I was doing that too. So that's pretty much it.
What about you, Mike?
Okay. So I just shuffed off the last commissions. Yay. Which I'm hoping to have some professional pictures of those soon. Because they were for Luis, and you and I can talk offline about, I did see Luis earlier this week. And so we could talk more about that. I have this weird thing where when I get frustrated, one of the ways that I kind of get myself out, I still want to paint, but I'm frustrated with what I'm doing. I actually really enjoy dry brushing metallics. I don't know why. It's one of the reasons why I had I actually had painted the entire battle or betrayal or battle at Calf or whatever that was set, because I did it all as Minotaurs, and it was just really therapeutic and I really like the way it looks. And so one of the commissions I was working on for Luis, the eyelids were not sculpted, so I had to paint the eyelids on myself over the eyes. And actually, it turned out amazing for my first time doing it. Are they amazing in general? Probably not, but pretty good. And then I actually had to do it on this horse. But so I picked up a model by Daybreak Models, Daybreak Miniatures, that my wife had given me for my birthday last year, and just started dry brushing the hell out of it. And you know, now that was Tuesday, here is Sunday, and I thought I would put it down and move on, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it, actually. And so it's actually kept me motivated and kept me painting. I know I have other projects that are coming down the pipe for Adepticon, but you know what, I'm riding the enjoyment wave right now, and I'm hoping that that will catapult me into getting momentum on other projects. I do have my squad started and my diorama started for Resin Beast. I have everything laid out for and primed and ready to go for my main demon entry. And I actually did some work on the Stormcast earlier this week that you had seen, Dev. So I was like, maybe I can get this through. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good. I've taken on a private coaching student in person in the area that was introduced through a friend of a friend. So that's fun. I have a big Dungeons and Dragons group that meets every few months, and it's something like 15 to 20 people, and they all crash at this guy's house and make a weekend of it. And so it's actually pretty cool. I know they want me to do a beginner's painting seminar for them in July, which will be fun. And so I'll do a full day. Like, they're going to have another event in July, and so on the first day, they're going to have me do 6 hours of like beginner painting stuff to help them paint their characters for the campaign. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That sounds cool.
And a little bit of scratch too. A little folding money.
There we go.
What about you, Dev?
So for myself, I'm also prepping for Resin Beast. It's been the big project I've had for the last few months, and not been the best at actually working on it, but I've got a unit entry for Resin Beast that I am working on. It is hopefully going to be good. I've been actually like pushing myself in several areas on that one. Obviously I worked on this Stormdrake Guard in Kaha's class, and I'm debating pushing it further and maybe trying to submit it to the Golden Demon at Adepticon, seeing as I'll be there. I'm not the biggest Adepticon fan, and stylistically it's definitely not well suited to Golden Demon's typical judging standards, so I expect it not to do well even if I do put it in. But you know, maybe a a finalist pin would be nice if it gets there. And then beyond that, as Mike mentioned just now, I've been doing some cover art stuff for Louise that's in progress. I'd kind of put a freeze on it because I wanted to get some feedback from him, and I just chatted with him and got a little bit of input there. So that's the third major thing I'm working on. I am set currently looking at 6 Stormcast Eternal. I really need to stop calling them Sigmarines. 6 Stormcast Eternal from Warhammer Underworlds, which I have had assembled and unpainted for the longest time. And I decided to go completely crazy, full on rainbow color scheme undershadowing with them. I saw a YouTube video by Ninjon where he's talking about using fairly bright, fairly vibrant, colorful airbrushing onto a model to set the colors and then work the layering over the top of it. So you've got this kind of vibrancy in the shadows. And I sort of wanted to try that out. So I've got a bunch of guys done up like that that I need to work on. I've taken them with me to LVO because I will generally take secondary models with me to a longer class, just in case there is downtime between things where I want to just work on something else and give my brain a break. In the case of Kaha's class, I was so engaged and so like on it that I just was always working on the Stormdrake Guard. So these guys really haven't seen any love at all. So I need to figure out when and how I'm going to work on those guys. So that's the other thing that I have going right now.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's too much stuff, if I'm honest. I need to try and like not constantly flip between projects.
Yeah, but I think that's some of the curse that we all have. Because I was doing at the beginning of the year, I was all like excited about doing all Deathwing. So I have all my Terminators I dug out. So I got like 20 something, and now I'm just like, oh crap. That does not include the Rogue Trader or the metal ones. Those are just all the plastic ones with Dark Angel iconography and everything on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a friend in my local IPMS club who only ever works on a single project at a time. And I honestly do not know how he does it. And he was like, I'm going to go crazy. This was about a year ago. He's like, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to work on two things at the same time. And I'm like, oh, wow, really? Like what? Like an aircraft and an armor subject or something? Like, you know, like a fighter plane and a tank or something like that? He's like, no, I've got two like ME-109s that I want to work on, but they're from different manufacturers. And I'm like, so you're working on the exact same plane, like two of them. The same time, he's like, yeah, I'm really going crazy. I'm like, that's crazy for you, man. Okay, I can't imagine.
That's a whole nother world. I mean, we always joke around about the scale model folks, but that's like their thing. It's like, I'm just gonna work on this, and that's what I see a lot. Yeah. And I'm in some groups where they take on multi-year projects. Like I'm doing a 28 millimeter World War One U-boat or something. I'm like, what the crap, man? I mean, that's going to be like 10 feet long. Well, yeah, that's what I plan on working on. Yeah. But I think those guys end up like, they're that good that they send them to museums or something, but that's like their hobby. Like the guys who make like wooden boats out of carving their own wood and shit like that.
Yeah, mulch.
That's another thing that I don't want to do. But I've just noticed a lot lately where people are picking up like these huge scaled models, and they're like, here's my project for the next couple of years, and they document it and they do all that stuff. It's fantastic to watch it. It really is.
It is. It's insane. Some of the work that they do. I mean, I got into this hobby as a scale modeler. I was in with the Airfix kits and the Revell kits before I ever discovered what like Warhammer or Games Workshop was or anything else. And I was a kid back then, and I've come kind of back around to it now. I don't have that discipline. Like I just need to switch between subjects way too frequently, and I can't push myself to the amount of time that it takes to actually get that finish that's required for some of the work that they do. So I do, you know, part of my frequent attendance at my local IPMS club is to learn the discipline of just working on a single thing for 6 months and getting it to the finish line.
The finish line for me in general is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but your problem with the finish line and mine are the exact opposite of each other, because my problem with the finish line is I want the finish line to be tomorrow because I'm already sick of this project, and your problem with the finish line is you don't ever want to reach it because you're enjoying the process too much, and that's where our differences lie.
Fair point. That's a fair point. Yeah, I do have a good time when I finally get moving in painting. It's all about just the process, you know what I mean? And then I forget that I actually need to finish something, you know. Not uncommon.
Yeah.
But I do have wicked, wicked hobby ADHD. The fact that I've solely focused on one model for like 4 days now is weird. Usually I'm like, oh, a dog with a puffy tail. Oh, a squirrel. You know, but it's all good. It's all good.
So what have we got on the horizon? What is it that we're looking for coming up?
Okay. More, I know we want to have a show with kind of a newbie to the Adepticon type con feel with Zach. Is going to come on one show with us, which I think that'll be a lot of fun. Might be something we consider doing moving forward, like kind of just like adding a friend into the show. You know what I mean? Like not necessarily have to be a world-renowned artist, but a friend of the show, a friend of ours that, you know, it's important to hear what they have to say about the hobby too. And so that's kind of where I am. I'd like to eventually, if we can figure them out, I always have a lot of fun doing the genre focus shows. But I know those can, you know, there's only so many genres and only so much focus and only so much time to edit and paint and stuff like that. So, really this year, while I want to do interviews, I like interviews are fun and great, but I really want to focus on the core flagship of the show, which is the three of us, and do as many recordings with that as possible.
I like the sound of that. What about you, Dan? What are you thinking for the future?
I'm just thinking of just getting through all these cons. Like, you know, there's a lot of milestones going on this year, and they all seem to be about every 3 months. So I have a feeling that 2024 is going to be a very, very fast, hectic, frantic kind of year for me and my family. Not that it's bad. This is, I mean, everything is all good, but it doesn't take very much to add one more thing to it to really make it just like super hyper crazy. So we have cons, we have, you know, graduations, we have new colleges, we have graduation from colleges, we have possibility of new jobs, things like that. That's a lot of stuff going on. So I think I'm just looking forward to, let's see, there's a really cool rule in BattleTech about sliding, and that's what I want to do. I just want to roll two dice and get a 12 and just slide all the way to December of next year and just pick up bonus points as I'm going through, because it's just going to be a whirlwind, but it's all going to be fun stuff. So the first thing is I just want to get to Adepticon. I want to meet a couple more of my friends out there, or in person, and just, you know, hang out with them. I really just want to do that. I want a big old giant plate of those effing French fries. So that,
oh, hell yeah, those French fries are on like Donkey Kong.
I'm going to be really pissed off if that place is closed down. Actually, we had bread. There's a breakfast place that's around the corner that's pretty good too. So we got to do that at one point. And then just enjoy. Yeah. A bunch of cons. I know, I think, when is the IPMS for us, Mike? That's that last week in February. I wanted to have something done for that, but I don't think I'm going to. I don't know. Maybe I could throw a figure in there or two, because we're going to do a test drive with Zach, right? And then, let's see. And then, yeah, because we get November, and then that puts us into next holiday season and whatever the new stuff is for games and systems. Oh, one thing that's really big that's supposed to be coming out, and I would imagine that probably at Adepticon we hear about it, is the Kickstarter will start shipping for BattleTech. So I put much more money into it than I really wanted to, but hey, why not have two of every model that they're going to be taking out? So I can go with the other 150 that I have in boxes and 150 that I have loose running around my house right now. Is why not throw them all together and look at them? Because most of the color schemes involve gray, so I just don't have to paint them. Yeah. So what's really funny is Devin's laughing, but he was on mute, and I can see his picture, and that was pretty good. Oh, that's where he went. He went to get another beer. I don't even need beer at this point. Jeez. So yeah, it's this year is just going to be wacky, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm just really looking forward to just hanging out with my painting buddies and gaming buddies. Really, that's it. Really,
Dev, you? What about you, man?
So it's going to be a big convention year for me as well. I was chatting with Michael Kleeman earlier today, because the two of us went to a club night together, and I'm doing 5 conventions this year, it turns out, including LVO, which I've done, Adepticon, either Nova or Reaper, still to be decided, KublaCon, and GenCon. And that's a lot. And it's really, like, this year, I think, it's the year where I experience all of these to really decide which ones I want to do on a regular basis and which ones I'm okay skipping. Because for the longest time, you know, you always have that FOMO. You're always like, okay, well, I've heard about this convention. Should I do it? Should I not do it? So I think this is the year where I really, like, settle that out. Obviously, our local IPMS club is also planning a show in October that is going to be possibly making some waves in the area as we switch from podium judging to open judging. So going from just first, second, third in each category to gold, silver, bronze, you know, regardless of how many entries there are, just purely based off of the merit of the piece, which I am very excited for. I've been pushing really hard for, and I think will hopefully herald a real change for the Region 9 IPMS community in general. I'm hopeful that will happen. But then from a purely miniature painting perspective, I have, you know, I think we talked about this in a New Year's review a while back, where I've kind of been pushing for speed and quantity for so long, and I'm very much moving away from that. And I moved too far away from that for a while, and I just stopped painting, especially because of, like, job demands and things like that. I just was not painting miniatures really at all. I think I'm starting to lean into it a bit more, but leaning in a manner that makes it okay to really work on models to a higher finish, to a better finish, actually make competition display worthy figures on a more regular basis. I have boxes of armies that are all fully painted. I have board game miniatures fully painted, and they do not get out and get used. And, you know, that mindset that I have had for many, many years of utilitarianism, of, like, I paint this thing so that I can play with it, has kind of broken in my head. The reality is, like, I paint those figures so that I can play with them and then do not play with them anyway, is, you know, something I am very aware of. And I'm like, well, if that's where I'm going to end up in any case, I should actually just paint things for the sake of painting them. And I started this with Relic Blade. I've painted up the Moldorf Expedition, to a much higher level than I would normally bother with, you know, just a skirmish unit like that. And I really enjoyed the process. I enjoyed painting them. I have fielded them on the table a couple of times, and I was okay with that. And I still have them in my display case, and I've put them into a couple of competitions. And I think I'm starting to shift my mindset so that I am okay with having something that I think is really good, but I'm not just focused on banging it out so that I can put it on the table for a game that, you know, realistically never happens. So getting that mindset out and maybe starting to actually perform as well as I feel like I am capable of in competition would be good.
Nice. Did you enter anything at the LVO?
I did not. No. I've done this before where I've gone to an event or a contest or something, and I felt like I ought to enter something just because I'm attending it. And with LVO, I didn't want that distraction. I really, really wanted to be entirely present in the class. That class was super important to me because I have like such an admiration for Kaha's work, and I so badly wanted to learn from her in her technique and what she had to teach. And I got to be honest, and I got to apologize to everybody who entered Fantastic Miniatures. I did not see a single competition entry from LVO in person. I just didn't make it to the display cabinets at all. I was there early every morning before the lights went on, and I was like, I'm not going to try and, like, you know, flashlight it and look at it in like pitch black, and that there was a barricade around anyway, so I wouldn't have even got close. And by the time I was done with the class in the evening, I needed space, and I needed to get away from the crowds of the show. So I saw photos. Devin Bush did the photography for the Masters categories, at least. I think he may have done the photography for all of the entries. And he was kind enough to send me some of the pictures so that I could take a look through a few of them. Chris Chung's Gandalf piece deserves a shout out because the sculpting on it was incredible. And I love that piece. And I'm not going to lie, Chris, you may not have got like anything above like Silver Masters, which was very well deserved. It is the piece that everybody's been talking about, dude. So if you listen to this, you fucking nailed it. It's a great, great piece.
Yeah, I was really surprised that wasn't a gold medal.
I'm not entirely surprised, knowing the judging priorities at LVO. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely surprised, but it is a phenomenal piece. It's
gorgeous.
Very deserving. It's a great piece. You know, if I had the money, I would be buying that in a heartbeat, because I would quite happily like have that on my shelf and enjoy looking at that, because that piece, you know, quite aside from the technical implementation, that piece says something so clear and so beautiful about who we as hobbyists are, about our interests, about the fact that we will have the end of a very, very long day, and we will sit in that couch, and we will have all of our like little tchotchkes and like hobby obsessions around us, and we will sit and we'll play a video game on the TV in front of us. Like it tells that story, that narrative, so excellently. And I am like, that is the only piece that I'm really sad I didn't get to actually sit down and look at in person. Yeah. I mean, I chatted with him a little bit at LVO. I caught him a couple of points, and he and I were chatting. I think we were chatting with Marco right at the end of the show. And I, you know, it is a phenomenal piece. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's definitely a couple of weak points technically. But they're points that, you know, I can understand being picked out by judges that I don't care about, because narratively I don't think it's important to the story of the piece.
Right. Oh yeah. And there's, I don't know. To me, in art, sometimes the technical stuff is totally destroyed by the narrative. Like the narrative overcomes to me a lot of technical mistakes or technical things that happen. Because I don't want to say mistakes, because I know sometimes there are things that judges look at and like, oh, that's a mistake. And the artist is like, well, I kind of did that on purpose for this reason. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. You know, for me, that narrative would probably overshadow tiny details. You know what I mean? Like, cause to me, that is a highly successful piece.
On many different levels. And you know, when I was chatting with Chris about this, he was very clear that he was super happy with the piece, but at the same time, he totally got the judge's feedback and he didn't have a problem with it. Like, I think there are elements of that piece that were rushed and he was doing it to get the piece done in time. And I think in a competition like ReaperCon, where, or even KublaCon, where it is a more artistic mindset and a little bit less focus on the technical, the piece would have gotten a gold in Masters. But you know, when you are dealing with more technical judges, you have to answer to their focuses, right? And this gets into the metagaming of competition painting that you just have to deal with, right? Is the judging going to lean towards technical accomplishment, or is it going to lean towards artistic value? And that's, you know, both are equally valid depending on your perspective.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, I know nothing about, I don't even know who the judges were, except I do believe Will Hahn judged.
Yes, but it is OG Will Hahn. It's not East Coast Will Hahn, I think. Oh. Okay. So yes, for those of you that don't know, there are two incredibly talented miniature painters who are both called Will Hahn. One of them has been around for a very long time, and I refer to as OG Will Hahn, including to his face, who is a super nice guy. He does some stuff with Games Workshop. He lives in Nevada. He is the West Coast Will Hahn, or OG Will Hahn, as I call him. And then there is another guy who is a little bit newer to the scene. He's been around for like 5-10 years now, but is a little bit newer to the scene compared to OG Will Hahn, who's on the East Coast and is an incredibly talented painter as well, which is the other Will Hahn, or East Coast Will Hahn.
East Coast Will Hahn. Yeah. And so, okay, so it wasn't the Will Hahn I thought it was, who was at LVO last year.
He was, but I don't think he was there at all this year. There was actually quite a few people who were not there this year from the East Coast, including a lot of the kind of the YouTube celebrity presence was not there. And, you know, the likes of, I don't think I saw Eric Swinson there.
No, Eric was not there.
But whilst we're talking about Las Vegas and the competition there, we could also talk a little bit about Virco's Vault.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So Virco's Vault is not something entirely unknown to a lot of folks. I know that there was rumor of it and conversation about it at LVO last year, but they had an actual presence at LVO this year, including many, many incredibly, incredibly well-painted figures on display as part of the Virco's Vault display. Virco's Vault is a museum that is going to be opening in Vegas, dedicated towards miniature painting and housing a huge variety of world-class painted figures. It is the child of a avid collector who has endeavored to purchase most of the top medal winning competition pieces over the last, I don't know how many years, thousands of figures that have been collected that are all exquisite and exceptional, that are now getting housed in a dedicated space that will be open to the public. It is, I'm not actually entirely sure when it will be opening. I may actually try and make the grand opening if there is one, because what I've seen so far and what I know of the pieces that are going to be in in the vault. I'm gonna have to go there. I have to go and see some of those pieces in person. The only other collection I know that is anything like the same scope and magnitude is George R. R. Martin's private collection, which I would also love to go and see, because I know so many artists that have contributed to that collection. And I think Virko's vault offers us something slightly different, because Martin's collection is very much tailored towards his interests. It is pieces that he has explicitly commissioned, whereas Virko's vault, my understanding is it's much more, for the most part, not exclusively, but for the most part, these are pieces that the artists themselves have painted for competition, and Gary has gone out and purchased with the intention of eventually housing them in this museum. But above and beyond all of that, Virko's vault is going to be a venue for painting classes. They are going to be getting some of the greatest painters and painting instructors in the world to come to Virko's vault to teach weekend classes, to teach long form classes, so that you can go there and you can sit down and be taught by Marco Frassoni or Caja or Francisco Farabi or any one of a number of other like world-class artists. There's already, even for the coming year, a intimidating list of artists that are going to be teaching there. So I'm very excited about that, not least of all because it's like an hour and a half flight from where I live.
Yeah, this is a... The Virko's vault, isn't he, like, there's some absurd number of, like, best in show winners that he has. Like,
yeah, I mean, almost everything that's come out in the last 5-10 years, almost all of them have been bought by him, you know, one way or another. It's just a huge collection. And so just as an example that listeners may well be aware of, Squidmar did this manta ray diorama with the manta ray that's kind of crash landed on a planet, and there's this pool scene and a tau fishing and all of this stuff. It was a huge piece that he put a hell of a lot of time into, made a whole series of YouTube videos about. That piece is going to be part of Virko's vault. It was on display it was on display at LVO, but it is going to be a part of this museum, this feature.
Did Virko, did that guy buy it? He was the one who spent $40,000 on it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really most of what I know about is that he sold it for $40,000.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that Gary has more money than sense, but I'm not going to knock it because I am so grateful that somebody who has that kind of money that is purchasing these pieces is willing to then put those pieces on display and make a museum out of that collection, because, you know, being able to share that with not just the hobby but potentially the wider world is I think a hugely admirable thing to do.
Agreed.
And I'm so grateful for that. And even if you live the other side of the world, if you really, really are into this hobby the way that we are, like, traveling to go and see this is, you know, it is something worth doing. It is like, I mean, I would value going to Virko's vault more than going to Warhammer World or even to, you know, like, see the giant Gundam statues in Tokyo, right? Like, there are a few things in this hobby that are often massively valued for hobbyists, and this is, I think, going to become one of those things, especially with it becoming a venue for classes.
That's huge. I think that first year we talked about it, it's going to be a challenge to get a class.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll die down, though. I think you're right.
I mean, I kind of hope it doesn't. I really do. I kind of hope it continues to be that pinnacle of destination. Because it's just such a fantastic literally like a fantasy of an idea, right? It's like the Warhammer bunker up in Canada. It's one of those things that it's so epic in scale that almost only North America can conceive of it and execute on it. Dan's sitting there going, I have no interest in going to this place whatsoever. Bunch of, you know, highfalutin artists overachieving and selling their artwork.
I'll be there someday.
He's like, there'll just probably too many backdrops for painted for him.
Wow, man.
Wow. Who's the one who like was looking at the pictures of Monty going, all these goddamn backdrops?
Wow, Mike. Yo. Okay. Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm with Dan on the backdrop thing.
Yeah.
I get it.
Boss, man.
You and me versus the world, Dan. Like, screw backdrops. That's not miniature art. That's just 2D art.
Dev, for somebody who's much younger than us, you sound old.
It's the English, man. We age prematurely.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, damn. Do we have anything else left to cover? Or...
No,
we're already at $1.40 almost.
I mean, there is one last question in the script,
which is,
what did you learn recently?
Ah, that's a good one. Oh, somebody's dog.
Yeah, that's Tilly.
I'm surprised you haven't heard mine. He's one of them snoring away next to me.
I did enjoy playing footsie with your dogs when I was at your place. They're always under the table getting in your way.
Yeah. And they're small dogs, so they're easy to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing like 80 pounds of mass and fur to be avoidable.
That's a small one.
I know, I was already doubling my dog's weight.
The big one's 105. Probably less, though. They got baths yesterday, so the amount of hair that came off the 105 one. Oh, my God.
Ugh. So, Dan, what have you learned recently? Did we just straight up lose Dan? Has he given up? Has he rage quit?
I think we killed Dan.
Dan. You guys are having such a great time talking about touching other people's dogs and everything. I went to go get something to drink.
I'll have you know that I was talking about playing footsie with other people's dogs.
Well, that's what you guys call it in England.
So what have you learned recently, Dan?
So what I recently learned... is that Pro-Acryl washes are freaking awesome. I had a spare figure and I wanted to just see what it could do, and I just threw a whole bunch of wash on it and it was freaking awesome. So I learned that, and you know, probably most people who buy their stuff use it, but I just buy stuff and just stare at it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, y'all think it's really cool to go out and put all of your paints into dropper bottles. Well, I learned that you can transfer your super glue into different kind of containers that have better tips. And so I started doing that, transferring my super glue into different containers. Man, it is freaking awesome. I don't have to worry about the tips all drying out or getting stuck or anything. I just pop it off and throw another one on top of it. And they're smaller. They fit in your hand. You can control it so much better. So that's the next weird thing that Dan is on. But
You talking about just putting them in regular dropper bottles?
No, they're special bottles. They're like non-reactive bottles, so super glue doesn't stick to them, and they have like I don't know what they're called. They look like needles, so you can alternate. They can change different gauge needles, and you use those instead.
All right, you're gonna have to send me a link to those because that is right up my alley.
I'll give you a couple. So actually, I have so many of these things that I put like, I use my oh crap, what is it called? My PVA glue, I can put that in there. So instead of using the gigantic like Elmer's glue thing, I can just transfer it right over in a very small controlled blob where I want to, if I'm putting stuff for scenery and stuff like that. And so that was the other thing. It was pretty cool. I was quite surprised when I did that, and it made me want to continue my hobby journey. And then I just went to go listen to music, and I just closed it all up and turned my lights out. we still have the best or some of the best brush cleaner out there, because I started using some other stuff and it's crap. No names.
Totally unrelated to what you were just talking about, definitely.
Well, I mean, it was on my hobby desk. So
okay.
So I cleaned my brushes, you know, and then
did everything
repotted my super glue.
I am going to need some more of our stuff because I've run out. I'm back to my old standby, but I'd love some more.
There we go. And hey, what about, did you, you never answered my question about the, do you have an ogre?
Oh, no, I do not.
Oh, Dev? No, I don't know if Dev. So Mike, when I was talking about like an inch or so, like really small.
Like yeah, this one was I have a hard time gauging on the build plate. And so I downloaded a ruler. So I could use that to gauge, and they're not accurate. The ruler, the stuff that you download for free is not accurate. Hold on.
Yours doesn't. You can go on the side on your build plate, and you should be able to see.
I'm sorry. Repeat that. I missed it because I was getting him.
You should be able to see on your scale. Well, that's not too bad. It's still a little bit bigger than what I was thinking, but
yeah, it's almost exactly 2 inches. But I figured I would print another 2-inch one.
But like I have somebody
to give one of these in mine too, and I'll give a 2-inch one to Dev too.
Yeah,
because he can't handle more than 2 inches.
If we do, I know. I was about to say, it's like, well, you know,
dude, I got to stretch first, man.
But the small ones, we could probably just clip off the blood drips and then just sand them in and spray paint them and hand them out.
No, this came out perfect. One. Okay. No, it just, all you have to do is just support the hell out of the blood drips.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking it was being trinkets and not worrying about it, because that would just stress me out.
Oh, no. I mean, once you support one all the way through, you just keep copying it.
Yep.
And I just dipped them in boiling water and pulled off the supports.
Okay. So. Well, send me the STL and I can start printing some out also. Maybe. Yeah.
Do you want me to send you the sliced file?
No, just send me the STL.
You have the STL of the trophy.
Okay. Then. Okay. I'll just use that one. I'll just make it really small so it fits properly.
I'll make sure you have it. I'll send it to you again.
I'll make a little half inch ones for my...
Get a little jewelry box to put them in with a little listening to paint.
See, there you go, making fun of me again. If I'm going to be, at least I'm going to be classy about it. And it'd be velvet, not just regular.
Dev, your turn. What did you, well, I don't know. Do we want to open this Pandora's box coming from a Kaha class?
Right?
What did you learn?
Well, I'll pivot slightly, first of all, just because Dan was talking about some of his, Monument Hobby acquisitions. At LVO, there was one thing that I managed. I took a brief break in the dealer's hall. I said hi to Pat and Jeff of listening to the Painting Phase podcast / YouTube channel, because they were there working for Artist Opus and they are super nice guys. But much more importantly, after like a year of trying to get my hands on it without having to pay shipping, I finally got Monument Hobby's Evo bag, and I have no regrets. That thing is amazing. It has the perfect amount of storage space for everything you need. When you set it up, it is just the most beautiful thing to paint from, because it has like elbow rests and it has a painting space and everything. It is a really, really nice bag. And that is a gauntlet I have thrown down, and from what I've heard, artist OPAs are also entering that space as well. So it's going to be a contested space, but at the moment, I feel like Evo is the standard there, and it is pricey, but it is very good. In terms of what I learned from Kaha, because that's what I've learned recently, because I don't learn anything otherwise. I learned a lot about color and color theory and all of those things, which some of you may be interested in which case take Kaha's class, and some of you may not, in which case the thing I'm going to highlight here is prime your model black, like a satin black. Set up your lighting in the way that you want the model to be lighted when you're finished. Take photos from the viewing angle that you are wanting and paint to those. It is not unique to Kaha. It is something that I have learned from several different instructors, but it was the Kaha class just now that really solidified and really told to me how valuable that practice is, right? I mean, it's a satin black prime, right? You can paint over it. If you're like me, a diehard Zenithal fan, you can Zenithal straight over that. But you can then, you know, you can work to make the Zenithal match that to help you get the finish that you want on the model. That was super, super valuable to me. What about you, Mike?
What did I learn? So one of the things that I've learned very recently is that I have to get rid of either preconceived notions or some of the stuff that I've learned from stuff that happened a while ago. So I used to always struggle with trying to paint with metal paint, metallic paints. I hated them, glumpy, etc. Trying to find out, some of that is the quality of the paints. And, you know, this seems to be apparently a monument hobby podcast now. Apparently, Jason Craze sponsor us. But I've switched over to using the Monument Hobbies metals, and they're very smooth. So I'll give them props on that. But I am basically, is it going to replace? No, it will not replace non-metallic metal for me. I still love trying to paint that and the challenge of it. But I have had a lot of fun working on trying to use the same lighting techniques in metallic painting. But that the funny thing is that the more you do that, the more you're adding non-metallic paints into the mix. And so maybe I think I want to change my mentality to that I have to paint metallics, and these are the metals, these are the colors I'm painting with, and stop treating metallic paints as metallic paints and just as another color, and just paint it the way I want to paint it, instead of saying, oh, I've got to do NMM or TMM or MMM, whatever. And it's just kind of, it's another step in that process of, I don't know. I don't even know what the word is to describe it, but it's just breaking bad habits. You know, like painting for competitions was a terrible habit for me. You know, here I am distracted with a piece that isn't a competition piece. I might put it in a local IPMS just because I do believe in stuff in case, like, you know, more in the case, the better. But it is painted for fun. Trying some new things. I'm actually enjoying painting a horse. I never thought I would, but I'm actually really enjoying painting a horse. That's what I learned. It's nothing groundbreaking or anything, just another instance where Mike's brain was on the wrong track and had to readjust. And so, but that's it for me, guys. All right.
So, go ahead. I mean, aside from waiting for the call from Jason Craze, which I hope comes, because I was desperately hoping for a discount on that Evo bag, but I think that ship has sailed. Should we wrap it up for today?
Right. Don't we have to, like, at NOVA last year, which Capital Palette Awards got the Evo? Was it just the best in show?
We didn't give any of them out.
Oh, you didn't give any Evos out.
Not Evos, no. They got their free paints. No, he gave out cash.
Yeah.
Oh, he gave them in the brush holder, the brush vault thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The cash in the brush holders, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
So he did that, and I'm sure that they, you know, they he had lots of price support out there for things, but the big thing was the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Cold hard cash.
Yeah, I see those Evos all over. Every time I've gone to a convention now, I have Evo jealousy, but it's just way too out of my price range.
You know what? If you're not paying shipping, it's totally worth it.
It's like $200, isn't it?
120, 100, like 115, oh, something like that. But the shipping bumps that up quite a bit because obviously it's a faff to ship.
Yeah, it's a big size. Yeah, you buy it in person, he'll run out on the first day. Because people are buying that shit. Like,
yeah, crazy. Seriously. I was like, LVO, day one, like first thing in the morning, quick run out there, grab one, head back to Klosk. Because I'd missed out at Gen Con.
Unless he has a better price, because online, it's the Evo is $195. It's $200.
Oh.
Maybe it is. But still, shipping's still going to kill it. Maybe there's a con discount or something.
Maybe.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Or Dev you know got the listening to paint dry discount coupon and used it already.
I've now got to double check how, like how much I spent on this because I can't imagine that I got that discount. But also, you know what? At $200, it's still worth it because that thing, I would have no qualms putting that as checked luggage. It'll survive. It'll go through the baggage process of airlines without an issue, I'm sure. Getting it back from LVO, it happened to go in another suitcase just because I had brought a suitcase for all of my purchases and all of my purchases amounted to that one Evo case, but
fair enough.
Yeah, it's well padded, it's well protected, it's well designed, I'm loving this case so far.
Alrighty, excellent. We'll let Jason know for sure that he needs to be on and tout this, you know. But all right. With that being said, I guess it's time to wrap this shit up.
Don't you have it pre-recorded, or do we?
Well, no, we just say goodbye now. I've got the rest of this. I've got the technical details.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, cool.
You know, and so I guess this being the wrap up, I'll do the better, braver, happier thing that I just had that walked. I should have written it down. Damn it. It was in my head and then it walked away. In order to be a better, braver, happier painter, just write all your shit down.
Don't wait 4 years to be a better, braver, happier.
All right. No, you're right. It is. It's about $200. I just checked my receipt. It's about $200.
Oh, so he got that 50% off coupon. He used it already.
I wish I had. No, I dropped $200 on that case and just conveniently forgot how much I spent on it, apparently.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that back.
Goddamn cold hard reality come crashing back in once again.
In order to be a better, braver, happier painter, don't look at the receipts.
In order to be a better, braver, happier painter, drop $200 on an Evo case and then try and forget how much you spent on it.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been fun getting back together again. Let's do this more often.
Next week, absolutely, right? Do it more often.
Yep. And we all wait for Dan to see you because he's totally forgot that he's
am I the one who's doing? Okay, I didn't.
The see ya.
See ya.
Well, I'm glad we waited for that one.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait, but I didn't know which better, braver, happier thing you guys were going to use.
I'm going to use them all because it's funny.
Okay.
Also, because he doesn't want to have to edit any more than he absolutely has to.
I'm staring at it 1 hour, 59 minutes, right? Or 57 minutes right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 2 hour show. There'd be a lot of cutting that's got to happen now.
Yes.
All right. See ya. See ya.
See ya. See ya. See ya. thank you so much for listening.
A special shout out to our Patreons. Thank you very much for your support. And if all you others are inclined to do so, we'd love to have you as a Patreon also. Check out our link tree in the show notes for all our quick links.
Email us at listeningtopaintdry@gmail.com. Tell us what you're working on or what cons you've been to or how you're doing. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at listeningtopaintdry.
We're also on X at Dry Listening.
Like, subscribe, or follow us wherever you get your podcast. If you could also leave us a good review, we'd appreciate that.
We'll be back soon with another riveting episode of Listening to Paint Dry.
Listening to Paint Dry with Mike and Dan is a production of LTPTWMD. All rights reserved. No portion of this recording may be used without the express written consent of the host. The music is Death by a Thousand Questions by Springtide. Download from the free music archive on a non-commercial attribution share-alike basis. All views and opinions expressed in the show are solely the views and opinions of the person who said them. All celebrity voices, if any, were impersonated and done so poorly.